Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
If you doubt how serious the opposition is to the public, not just to Trump, but to the majority of the country that voted for Trump, they're trying to leave him with World War III on the way out.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a more desperate or evil thing for Tony Blinken, who I think is desperate and evil, in my view, to do. Leave him with a war? A lame duck president trying to start a war with the world's largest nuclear power, Russia. What do you make of that?
It's incredibly insidious. And then add to the fact that he can't put two sentences together and he's largely not in control of his own government. And so you have almost an unelected president with individuals behind the scenes that are doing this. It doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, these are the same people that have weaponized the Department of Justice, have the lawfare. I have a colleague of mine, Jeff Clark, who's, you know, has, they're trying to disbar him because of the care that he had on behalf of the president to deal with
voter integrity. That's Tucker Carlson, of course. They're talking with Russ Vogt, who used to work for the Trump administration. I believe he worked in Office of Management and Budget. And they're discussing what's going on in Ukraine right now. I mean, it is a frightening time over there. I don't think Vladimir Putin wants World War III. But this morning, there are reports that Russia fired an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, for those of you that don't know the acronym, and that headed toward Ukraine, toward Kyiv, maybe. And that is an escalation. I mean, if they're going to deliver a tactical nuclear weapon, that's probably how they would deliver it. Maybe it was an attempt to show that they could if they wanted to. I don't know what's going to happen. Coming up here in a minute, we're going to get with Trey Yangst. He's the Fox News correspondent who did an interview this week with Volodymyr Zelensky. He interviewed him right after the war started, and now 1,000 days later, he's talked to him again. It's something that I don't know if how the mainstream media is playing this, to be honest with you, but I can't help but to wonder why the Biden administration would change tactics with 60 days left in their administration if it wasn't some sort of an attempt to box the incoming administration into certain actions. Obviously, they want continued strong support for Ukraine. If this war escalates between now and January 20th, it strikes me that's exactly what Donald Trump's walking into.
I think the timing suggests that's exactly what's happening, because as I understand it, you know, Biden's trying to say, well, we went ahead and allowed them to use the U.S. long-range missiles simply because we know that North Korean troops are now in Russia. That's been in place. Those troops from North Korea have been there for weeks, if not months. This is nothing new. If that's really the driving force behind that decision, don't you think he would have instantly, within 24 to 48 hours, given Ukraine the go ahead on these missiles?
Yeah,
and he didn't. He waited.
Yeah, you would think so. Anyway, dangerous times. Hopefully, we're not facing that. I've said before, if the war between Russia and Ukraine has proven anything, it's that Russia can't even defeat a weakened Ukraine, a Ukraine that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton convinced to give up their nuclear arsenal in return, basically, for our protection, which we have failed at repeatedly. And Russia wasn't able to just waltz in and take Kyiv in the first 2 weeks. The mighty Russian military is not all that mighty, it appears, except that they do have nuclear weapons. And I mean, that's mutually assured destruction. That's what that is. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. I really do hope it doesn't come to that. But we'll see. You know, while we're waiting on Trey, I will mention that I said this yesterday. The hearings that are about to take place regarding, you name it, Pete Hegseth, certainly Matt Gaetz, these others, will be the Kavanaugh hearings will pale in comparison to the screaming drop and flop we're about to see from the left machine with their willing sycophants in the mainstream media. MSNBC, CNN all reporting this morning that new details are coming out about Pete Hegseth. Mm-hmm. Disturbing new stories are coming out about
sexual misconduct or something of that sort. Yeah.
And of course, you know what they're already saying about Matt Gaetz and this report that these women have come forward. They don't want to be identified publicly, but they don't mind if their story is told. Are you kidding me?
Were they saying that they found evidence that Matt Gaetz had Venmoed two women on separate occasions,
yeah,
maybe $10,000 each?
Right.
I'd be curious to know the details. I don't really know what to think about this whole situation.
So prostitution is illegal.
Yes.
If that's something he participated in, it strikes me that certainly at some point a prosecutor somewhere could have charged him with that. If there's evidence that you paid money to somebody for sex and prostitution is illegal, I don't know that that's a felony, but people probably have been prosecuted for that before. Whatever these allegations are, it's all smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing came of it. A federal prosecutor, the DOJ for the opposing party, could not find enough evidence to take this to court.
Mm-hmm.
And a federal prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. Any prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. If they wanted to go after Matt Gaetz, they could have.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought they had effectively, with just the rumors of the story, they felt that they had reduced his effectiveness. And now, boom, Donald Trump nominates him to be attorney general, where he would be all of their bosses.
Right.
So suddenly there's a new urgency to try to leak this information to damage him somehow.
I do appreciate that Trump is standing by Gaetz. I know a reporter asked him the other day, you know, are you reconsidering that appointment? And he said, absolutely not. And Megyn Kelly had on her podcast recently. She said what really changed her mind, because, of course, she did not like Trump for a quite some time. She said, I really respected the fact that he stood by Brett Kavanaugh when so many people were hating on him,
mm-hmm,
and making all those accusations against him. Trump stood by him and backed him. And that's exactly what he's doing right now with Matt Gaetz.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. Trey Yangst is in a war zone, and it's very possible something has delayed him from calling us this morning. So we may not get to him right here. I don't know if there's still a chance of us getting to him at all. It looks like our window's about to expire here. We'll go ahead and get to a break. Coming up, I do know that I've got Mr. Dependable, and that would be Griff Jenkins at the bottom of the hour. Where in the world is Griff Jenkins today? Is he surfing somewhere? I just don't know. We'll get to Griff coming up in bottom of the hour.
DNI, Department of National Intelligence. This is not a place for a Russian, Iranian, Syrian, Chinese sympathizer. DNI has to analyze real threats. Are we comfortable with someone like that at the top of our national intelligence agencies?
Chicken crap.
Yeah, what I'm tired of is the sound of Nikki Haley's voice. Anybody else? Anybody else with me? Raise your hand in the audience, please, this morning. Rumble, X, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you happen to be, on the radio, on the Odyssey app, however you're getting us. Nikki Haley, apparently, I didn't know this. I was yesterday days old when I found out that Nikki Haley has a radio show on one of the extraterrestrial channels. The Sirius channel somewhere. She has a radio show.
What does she talk about?
I don't know. She hating on Trump, generally.
Is this where she was talking about Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah. She hates Tulsi Gabbard. Maybe what she hates is the Donald Trump administration told her to go pound sand.
Mm-hmm.
Go fly a kite. We're done with you. You had an opportunity. You saw the Trump train coming. You chose to stand on the tracks much longer than you needed to, inflicting all sorts of damage to Trump's reputation with some of the stuff you said. And then you bailed out and thought, well, they'll welcome me back and let me campaign for him and find me a place in the administration. And mm-hmm. Trump's like, that's not how the game works, Nick.
I don't get Nikki Haley's beef with Tulsi Gabbard, because it's common practice to meet with our adversaries, right? Like that is nothing new.
Well,
so for her to use that against Tulsi and say that she's a sympathizer, I'm not buying that.
Gabbard was a Democrat. She was a Democrat for a long time. I'm sure she took positions on policies that a lot of us wouldn't agree on when she was a Democrat. And we may not still agree with her on everything. And I pointed that out months ago. I still suspect there are a lot of policy issues we don't agree on. RFK Jr.
Same,
was a
yep.
Democrat. And I'm certain that he and I would not see eye to eye on the pro-life issues.
Nope.
But he's not going to have any impact over that at HHS, and it's not really what he's focused on. And Trump's made it pretty clear to him. Stay away from energy and deal with health. And my guess is he'll not try to do anything at HHS that has anything to do with abortion, because that's not really his focus. So she has some issues with supposedly Tulsi Gabbard saying some things about the Syrian president Bashar al-Assad at some point. And she's now determined that Tulsi has no business being DNI. I guess she thinks she should be DNI because she was UN ambassador for a while.
Do you think Nikki Haley really wanted or expected a cabinet position?
I do. I really think her ego was big enough that she thought, despite what she did to Trump. Trump, I mean, he claims you can cross him a couple of times and he'll let you come back. But I'd say she hit her three strikes, you're out, back in March sometime.
I don't know. I don't think that she actually believed she was going to have a cabinet position, because she wouldn't have stayed in the fight as long as she did. And not only that, I mean, she was throwing some real harsh attacks at Trump.
Well, she is the one that went on the trail and said, he can't win. He can't win. That's why I'm running, because he can't win. And then she kind of sold up afterwards.
But she didn't really
afterwards.
Believe that. That's just what you say on the campaign trail to get people to vote
you
for you.
Saying it when you're coming in second and sometimes third place in a two-person primary.
Because you hope if you say it 1,000 times that people might actually believe it. Just why Kamala Harris nonstop called Trump Hitler.
She kept saying it until it was way too late for anything like that to happen. Lightning was never going to strike. She should have stopped earlier. And maybe there might still have been an opportunity for Trump to make her, I don't know, the ambassador to Azerbaijan or something like that. I mean, he could have given her a remote outpost somewhere, right, where she couldn't do any damage.
Send her far, far away, as far as she could possibly go.
Yeah, exactly, right?
The position's remote. We don't want you ever to come back here in the United States.
Send her somewhere that nobody will ever see her again. You won't have to listen to her because she'll never make the media, because nobody cares about what's going on in that country. Yeah, there. I heard Jim Talent point out this morning, Donald Trump has to fill like 3,000 positions for his administration. I mean, that's a lot of roles.
I didn't realize
that's
it was
a little
that
many. Overwhelming. Because there are department heads and there are assistant department heads that are appointed, and there are ambassadorships, and we have ambassadors in most of the countries in the world. So, those are the ones that will be probably eventually handed out to, you know, big donors from down the line somewhere who'd love to be the ambassador to Ireland and go drink for weeks at a time in Dublin. I mean, seriously, wouldn't that be cool? I wish he'd make me the ambassador to Dublin, to Ireland. That'd be
That's
very cool.
That's where you'd pick, huh?
Oh, yeah. That or maybe not England, probably Ireland or Scotland. I'd go there.
Visit some of the castles, Edinburgh.
I do want to go there. Maybe, you know, I want to go there because I think it'd be really cool. Probably the fact that Game of Thrones was filmed there makes me want to go there even more.
You're hoping you might find Cersei.
You never know.
Or Daenerys.
You never know. Right? Something strange like that can happen.
I'd go there for the baby dragons.
Yeah.
The baby dragons were cute, Carl. I know you're giving me that look.
I didn't watch Game of Thrones.
You know, I mentioned this a little earlier, and Kim, I was hoping I'd have time to bring this up. So, actually, Trey Yank's bailing on us gives me an opportunity to do it. So, there was an artist in Colorado. This was different than the cake baker. Who refused, her name was Lori Smith, she was a graphic artist, who refused to make a website for a same-sex wedding. And she went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said the state could not punish her, because when she did it, they've got their own Human Rights Commission or whatever that fined her for daring to not want to make a website for something that went against her beliefs. So they fined her for it. She took them all the way to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court smacked them down. They upheld her First Amendment rights. So now the state of Colorado has to pay her attorney fees for having to fight that. So she used Alliance Defending Freedom. We've had them on the show before. The Colorado Attorney General Philip Weiser notified the federal trial court Tuesday that they have reached a settlement. The state of Colorado taxpayers will have to pay $1.5 million dollars for the 7 years she spent under threat from the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which said she violated public accommodation laws. The Supreme Court smacked that crap down.
Have people not realized this, that the same-sex couples that are demanding these bakers, or in this case, demanding web designers to make my website, make my cake, have you not learned your lesson that the First Amendment allows you to not do that? Time and again now, we're seeing these cases be smacked down, thankfully.
Yeah, they have not.
You can't force me to make, if it goes against my morals, which it would for
yes,
mine,
right,
I
right.
should not be forced to make that for you.
Well,
just like I would never force you to make a cake that went against yours.
According to the Supreme Court, if you decide not to do that, some state civil rights commission cannot fine you for it randomly. They can't just make up rules and fine you for doing that. And that's a epic smackdown of $1.5 million. And I hope Jared Polis and all the rest of the people in Colorado choke on that one. Amid the mounds of smoke out there, for sure. All right, coming up, our buddy Griff Jenkins. Where in the world is he? Always love checking in with Griff each week. And maybe we'll talk to him about what he's going to be doing come inauguration time, since I'll be up there in D.C. when that happens. Looking forward to it. We'll be back in just a minute.
Senator Kennedy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As acting ranking member.
Don't let it go to your head.
I love the power. I didn't know what it felt like to be a...
It's an amazing thing.
It is. It's better than sex. I don't know. Not really.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Little more levity up in D.C. these days, huh, Griff?
Yeah, listen, I love me some Kennedyisms. They just flow like a poet, and I can't get enough of them. And actually, I'm in New York today because in just a few hours, I'm going to hop on that Outnumbered show where it's one guy stuck between four smart, gorgeous women, and who knows what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, I love that. That's a congratulations, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think is going to come up is certainly, you know, some follow-up on the Lake and Riley trial and the border situation. I actually, you know, when I come up to New York, I'm like, yeah, well, I get to be an important host and do Outnumbered. And then news always follows me wherever I go. And so I've been hustling on a story today that the New York Post broke about ICE is looking to push this ICE app. Remember, we have the CBP One app that we've all talked about for years now. But ICE has got an ICE portal app that would allow migrants in places like New York, where the backlog's crazy, to skip in-person check-ins. And ICE sources confirmed that for me this morning, and I'm reaching out to the communications bosses at DHS saying, you want to put a statement out on this? Now, they say that this was a pilot. My sources tell me it was a pilot that was going on. So anyway, these are things we're probably going to be talking about. But then I've got to read up, and in full disclosure, don't tell anybody. I got to read up on this Jaguar thing, man. Did Jaguar not get the memo that woke is not in anymore?
I heard our afternoon host, who apparently drives one of those cars, complaining about that even yesterday because the ad comes out. Does it have men in skirts on it?
It's something like that.
Yeah.
It's got, at first you think it's like some sort of futuristic sci-fi movie, but it's these kind of androgynous, looking things, yeah, maybe feels like could suggest some sort of gender
bending
correctness in there, gender bending. What's interesting though is I watched the ad and I keep searching the great internets to make sure I'm seeing the correct ad. I don't see a car.
There's not
like,
a car.
There's no car in the ad. Like what? I'm not buying a Jag because you gave me a bunch of androgynous-looking sci-fi people.
I have always loved a Jaguar and have entertained the idea of having one at some point. I don't know that I ever will. But my aunt has a 1990, maybe a 1990 or 92 or something, Jag XJ. It's green. It's beautiful. She's still got it parked in her garage. Last time I checked, and I mean, that car is gorgeous. I fell in love with that car. I don't know why they would put an ad out without showing their beautiful cars.
Man, you ain't kidding. You just jogged my memory, Mark. Yeah. In 1989, the year I graduated from high school in Memphis, Tennessee, my father, R. Lee Jenkins, God rest his soul, my hero, had retired literally around the time I graduated from high school. He retired from worked at a pharmaceutical company and bought himself, because he was a very frugal guy, and the whole family was like, do something for yourself. He always wanted a convertible Jag. He got a gorgeous green convertible two-door cabriolet.
Oh, nice.
And he got delivered literally a day or two before I got, before graduation. I said, hey, Dad, can I put the top down and drive it to school on the last day of school and tell all my friends I got a Jag for graduation just to, like, blow their minds? He said, sure, Griff. And so I drove proudly this gorgeous green cabriolet convertible Jag to school and then scammed everybody, and of course nobody bought the joke, but it you know, instills in the memory like what a great car. And now this has become what this company has been.
Well, it's Griff, you'll fit right in if you want to wear like a bright floofy dress and paint your face and bleach your hair blonde and shave it all together. I mean, anything, right? I mean, is that what they're trying to do? Like, just show that anybody can drive a Jaguar?
Listen, if I actually get past this ridiculous ad and buy myself a Jag, should I win the lottery? I don't want a chartreuse colored one. Okay,
that's great. Hey, Griff, I tell you, I'm planning to come to D.C. for the inauguration. So that I can't imagine what the security is going to be up there on January 20th.
It's going to be crazy, and you know, we've had crazy inaugurations. The you know, fencing and all the security preps are already starting to show up. You know, a couple months out, they've got they're building the inauguration stage at the White House, but there's also around the Capitol the security stuff. But you know, I don't know really how crazy it's going to be. I mean, in 2016, I covered obviously the riots in the street on inauguration day. They cut to the lunch break, and Brett and Martha threw to me, and I'm getting like, you know, tear gas in the middle of it. But I read yesterday an article about how the Women's March, which has been one of the bigger protesting groups that's been out there, they were saying people are losing the motivation. Like, writing on social media, Women's March was posting on social media, like, come on, let's go, take a stand. And someone had written back, yeah, find somebody else. So
I'm shocked.
We'll see what we get.
I mean, given the fact that they're all going to lose their rights on January 21st, I would have thought there might have been more of them out there protesting.
You would have thought, but we'll see where it goes. I can promise you this. I'm sure they'll put me, because they love to stick me out there like a pinata in these protests. They'll have me out there covering it. So I will get 50 of my most outrageous protester pals and bring them to your broadcast from the nation's capital.
Nice.
Just to make things interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, I'll try to look up my friend Griff while I'm up there.
Absolutely. Would love to get with you. And maybe, I don't know, wherever you're doing the show from, let me know. I look forward to having you there. You know, it's honestly a great opportunity to have a front row seat to history. Because aside from the confirmation battles coming, the overarching clear goal and intention of this incoming president and administration is going to be radical changes the way our government works, radical changes to what we've known as federal government life. And so it's going to be interesting to see what 4 years of attempting to break the machine, as some call it, we'll find out. But to be there on day one when it happens, knowing that a lot of changes are coming shortly after he raises his right hand, particularly with respect to Biden border policies, that are going to get undone and others that are going to get reinstated, like Moreno, Mexico. That's going to be day one stuff. Trump doesn't wait around, so it'll be a front row seat to history.
So I see on here when I go to the outnumbered page, today's hashtag one lucky guy is Griff Jenkins. And here's why he's so lucky. Here's who he'll be surrounded by today. Harris Faulkner, Emily Campagno, Kaylee McEnany, and Cassie Smedley, who we had on the show, I believe, late last week. Wasn't it late last week when Cassie was on? Yeah, I think it was. Or was it earlier this week, Carly? It's all blending together for me.
I think last week.
You're a lucky man, Griff.
All the days running together. And I am a lucky guy. I love doing it. And they're such smart and quick-witted hosts. So anytime I get to be in their presence, I'm honored. But let me just tell you a little inside secret, and that is, there's no other time in my life or on any given day that I think more about my posture. I never really think about my posture, but they always sit straight up on that couch. And,
yes.
While I'm, focusing on what I might say about the border or Jaguar or anything else, just know when you're watching me, I'm actually also thinking about, am I sitting up straight?
I just sat up straighter. As you said that, I put my shoulders back.
It was a week ago today.
I know. Everybody has terrible posture. Mm-hmm. Posture, But on that show, on that couch, you got to, kind of sit up.
Griff, have fun. We'll be watching, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Look forward to seeing you in D.C.
You bet. Griff Jenkins there, going to be on the couch today on Outnumbered up in New York City with Harris Faulkner and the gang. Wow.
Why didn't you say that?
Living the dream.
You were going to broadcast from his house.
I should have probably joked with him about that. We're going to be coming to Georgetown. We could use some cheap accommodations. You got any extra room?
Pancakes you could make
there,
some bacon.
No,
you should just tell him your breakfast order. It's not really you're asking. You're just telling him, hey, here's how I like my eggs over medium, please.
We're all going to be there anyway. I could just plug into your Wi-Fi and we could do it right from the living room. Yeah, that would work.
Oh, and by the way, we're on the air at 5 a.m.
I thought it'd be 6 there.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
That should convince him, Carl.
And how many times do we see Griff all gussied up on Fox and Friends first?
Thank you. He is on there occasionally.
5 o'clock their time.
That's right. All right, quick break here. We're going to honor our first responder organization of the day in the next segment. Stay tuned.
This is your first responder spotlight.
Time for us to give a shout out to the fine folks at the Alton, Illinois Fire Department this morning. Chief Jamison and the fine folks up there, thanks for all you do, the fire and EMS folks. In fact, my friend Scott from Donuts Delight just confirmed for me that he had delivered a couple of dozen donuts up there for breakfast this morning. So I'm sure they're enjoying that, and we appreciate all of you that you do, the men and women of the Alton Fire Department. Thank you. The entire month, of course, we've been talking a little bit about backstoppers. You know what they do. It's great work. My friends at Responder Rescue do great work as well. If you've been on my Facebook page, there's a picture of me holding the 9mm rifle that you have a chance of winning in this raffle. It's beautiful. CMMG, it's great. They make it right here in Missouri out in Boonville. It's worth about $2,000. You have a chance of winning that. That's courtesy of the Range St. Louis West. I love what they do for us. Every year they donate a gun for us to raffle off. All of the proceeds go to Responder Rescue. You might win a basket of bourbon. In fact, people are still reaching out to me to contribute bourbon. My friend from Nobleton's Distillery reached out yesterday, and they're interested in donating some bourbon to the basket. So I'm telling you what, whoever wins this is going to be set. Weller Antique 107, Old Dominic Cask Strength, the Midwinter's Night Dram is going to be in there, the Blanton's Gold. We've got that Wayne Gretzky bottle that my friend Tom has donated as well that you can only get in Canada. There's going to be a Rob Thomas signed Blues jersey along with the basket of bourbon. So that's a $1,500 value I'm conservatively estimating. And there's also the T in ATF, alcohol, firearms, and tobacco. You could win a night at Lit Cigar Lounge down in the Chesterfield Valley in their private lounge, up to 10 people, cigars, a bottle, a great treat. Plus, you get some Opus X Story cigars, which are hard to get. And there will be three winners. I'll pick them next Wednesday, before Thanksgiving at about 12:30. It's going to be picked at random by a computer. Now, when you donate All the money goes into an account for Responder Rescue. ResponderRescue.org. They're getting all the money. So if you buy $10 worth of tickets, that's great. If you can afford to buy 100, you're going to get 112 tickets. You get a bonus the more you buy. All of the money goes to Responder Rescue. So please do that. You can go to 971talk.com. And you can find our link on there for the First Responder Thanksgiving. You can go to responderrescue.org, or, and this is the easiest way, just pick up your phone and text the word responder to 33100. If you're watching on any of the social feeds, you'll see that right along the bottom of the screen. So it's easy to do. It takes you, you'll immediately get a text back with a link. You go on there, you pick the number of tickets you want, you put your information in, and it's that easy. You can pay right over your phone, and we love you for doing that. Thank you. Trying to raise as much money as possible for my friends at Responder Rescue, because they do such great work helping out our first responders. Love it.
That's one of the organizations you can actually get behind and feel really good about it.
Yes, you can. And Pat and Lisa do a great job up there. I always love helping them out when we can. By the way, if you missed our interview earlier about the Francis Howell School District, there's a board meeting tonight in Francis Howell at the board headquarters, at the school district headquarters. And they're going to be hearing about their bathroom policy, because there's several reports, confirmed reports from parents up there and students of a male who's been using the women's bathroom at the high school, Francis Howell High and Francis Howell Central, girls going into the boys' bathrooms. Some parents are fed up with it. I think they're going to turn out tonight to that board meeting to express their concern over why they haven't effectively dealt with that bathroom policy.
I just hope the fact that Trump has been elected is going to squash some of these, you know, school board efforts to, you know, allow these men into the girls' bathrooms.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Woke is dead, just so you know. So come on, school board, do your thing tonight. Let's see a vote on this and get this straightened out once and for all, for sure. All right, that does it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up next. You'll have the latest on what's going on in the Ukraine this morning. And, of course, Annie and then Mark finish out the day. We will see you back here tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m. See you on Friday.
Get more at 971talk.com.